The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. This morning, I want to share with you a reflection from some spiritual reading. Among all the achievements of our life, only one is really crucial. It is attaining the goal, heaven, set for us by God. We must be ready to give up everything, if necessary, to achieve this goal. We must also be ready to set aside anything that even gets in the way of our achieving it, no matter how valuable or appealing it may seem. Everything else has to be subjected to that one supreme objective in our life, possessing God. If anything becomes an obstacle rather than an aid to this end, then we must be prepared either to set things straight or to put the obstacle aside completely. Eternal salvation, our own or our neighbor's, comes first. Our Lord tells us so in the Gospel of the Mass. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better to enter into the kingdom of heaven maimed, lame, or lacking an eye than being physically sound and be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It is better to lose something as necessary as one's hand, one's foot, or one's eye than to lose heaven, which is our supreme good, implying, as it does, the beatific vision of God for all eternity. How much truer this is if, as is usually the case, what we need to put aside with no more than a bit of determination on our part is something that would otherwise not result in any significant harm to us. By employing these graphic images, our Lord teaches us that it is our positive duty not even to run the risk of offending him. We have the serious duty of avoiding or setting aside proximate occasions of sin. For he that loves the danger shall perish in it. Anything that entices and draws us closer to sin must be energetically excised from our lives. We cannot toy with our own salvation or with the salvation of our neighbor. Often, the obstacles we have to set aside will not be tremendously significant ones. In the life of a Christian who is striving to please God in all things, this will usually be the case. What will have to be set aside and cut out are our minor whims and preferences. We shall take prudent steps to correct small breaches of temperance where our Lord asks us to mortify our taste and our appetite, to control our temper or our moods, to overcome any excessive concern we may have about our health or comfort. All of these more or less habitual failings need very much to be taken into account, even though they may not be more than mere venial sins. They slow our pace and can trip us up, or worse, they can gradually lead us to or bring about a more serious fall. If our struggle is generous, If our goal in life is clear in our sight, we will be decisive in striving to correct these situations so that they cease to be obstacles and are turned into advantages. This is what our Lord often did with his apostles. From Peter's hot-headedness, he formed solid rock on which he would build his church. From the impatience of John and James, who he dubbed sons of thunder, he fashioned the apostolic zeal of untiring preachers. From Thomas's skepticism, he molded a strikingly articulate testimony to his divinity. What has been previously a crippling liability becomes a powerful asset. My brothers and sisters, our Lord desires to do the same for us today. He wants to take our emotions, our desires, and these little things that distract us from him, and he wants to turn them on their head and put them to his good use and into his service. The question, though, is, will we let him? Will we help him in this purification, or will we stand in his way?